an altar to the altar? Find out what I mean on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, my dear friends and listeners. This is Dr. Johnny, and this is another episode of Pushback. I just got through doing a conference. It was basically a medical conference led by an emergency room physician regarding the opioid epidemic and how we can be helpful in the ER and things to look for and treatments available to this. So it's very much on the forefront of my mind. And I've begun this series this year, sort of entitled Killing Our Kids. And this is going to be maybe the quintessential example of how our culture is killing our kids, because it literally is happening. And I've been hitting pretty heavily, and I hope that you are taking this to heart, because I'm ringing a bell here this year, because we have to wake up. We have to see what's happening to our children and to our grandchildren, and we need to be proactive, because the culture is coming on strong, and we need to be stronger. We need to be more proactive. We need to be out front on these issues, and not all of these issues affect our day-to-day lives, and so sometimes they can be swept under the rug and maybe not worried about. Or say it's a problem for the inner cities or not us, and we don't see the major issues that are happening. However, when we talk about fentanyl and alcohol and the things that are happening, believe me, it is not regionally specific. It's not just an inner city problem. It is everywhere. And it is an epidemic proportion, and it is absolutely a national emergency. In fact, I can't even get my mind around this notion of an open border, honestly, and allowing fentanyl to become sweeping into our country. It's not just a political speaking point. I just can't get my mind around any politician that would even make an environment open to that. Now, you may say this is everywhere, but it's not. And this is the crazy part that I just learned in this seminar. The United States makes up 4.4% of the world's population, and yet we have 80% of the world's fentanyl. This is a United States problem. This is right here in our own backyard, and our children are the victims, and they are dying. The numbers are increasing every single year, and now they're predicting in 2024 it to be well over 120,000 deaths. Last year was about 100,000 deaths. And the speaker even said, you know, you might think that the problem just dies out with the drug addict, but it doesn't happen. It's continuing to increase, even with all of these deaths. The death toll continues to increase, because it's an epidemic. It's spreading like wildfire, and there's something that's broken in our culture that would actually be a breeding ground for this. Why is this happening? What's going on, and what can we do as parents? Again, the answer is always being proactive. It's always love, and it's always boundaries. And I'm going to hit hard again, I'm going to hit hard again this week, because we as parents, with this topic, if you even give an inch, it can be fatal. Let's just talk about fentanyl specifically. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. It's 50 times more potent than heroin, and 100 times more potent than morphine. Just 2 milligrams of fentanyl, which is equal to 10 to 15 grains of table salt, is considered a lethal dose. And without laboratory testing, there's no way to know how much fentanyl is concentrated in a pill or powder or any way that the child is taking it. The fentanyl producers are making them look like candy. In fact, they're dubbed rainbow fentanyl because it appeals more to a younger audience. My friends, this is heartbreaking what is happening. they this might blow your mind, but they're actually children today and young college age kids are having what's called Skittle parties. And what that means is they bring a bowl in the middle of the table and everybody dumps their medicines into the bowl, all different colors. Tonight I'm going to have a red one or a blue one or a yellow one. They don't even know what they are, and yet they're taking them and it's killing them. Why is this happening? What is going on? As many of you know, I'm an ER doctor. I feel like I'm fully qualified to give my perspective and my opinion on this, because it's the saddest thing you'll ever see in the emergency room are these young people's lives taken by a choice of their own and by high-risk behavior activities. I see it almost on an every night basis. And obviously, we're not even addressing the issue of alcohol, which probably by number is even a bigger issue because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Anybody can take it and use it. Fentanyl is so deadly, it's certainly getting our attention, but alcohol is there as well. And it's interesting because all of these are anesthesia. There's something that's broken in somebody's heart who's looking to escape life. And that's just simply put. Now, you may say having a beer or two, it's not that, but I'm saying it is absolutely that. If you're going to engage in higher risk behavior, there's something about you, something about your person that you are apprehensive about, that you're trying to escape, escapism. You are looking to be altered. I named this podcast Alter to the Altar because I believe that our children are being sacrificed on the altar of the altar. They're looking for an alternative. They're looking to be altered. They're looking to be changed. They are unsatisfied with who they are in and of themselves and in their identity. And because of that, they are looking to be altered. That is a problem, parents. That is a serious problem. If our children are looking to be altered in any way, it means that they're dissatisfied in who they are and they're looking for something else to change them. This is a problem. This is a crisis. And we may think that our children are immune from it or our children are away from it, but it only takes one time. It only takes one experiment. It only takes one parent to shrug their shoulders and say, "We did it when we were kids and we turned out fine." I'm telling you as a parent, as a minister, as an ER physician, that things are different even when we were kids. Things are scarier, they're more potent, and the desperation and the anxiety and the depression is greater. I've given you a lot of different reasons over previous podcasts why that might be true. But what is the purpose of anesthesia? The purpose of anesthesia is to take away pain, to take away personal pain. Alcohol is often seen as a way to relax or to socialize or to celebrate. But too much or drinking in a way that's dealing with feelings of anxiety and depression have negative consequences. That's what the secular world, that paragraph comes out of a secular text, not the Bible, not a Christian text. It's a secular text. Drinking in a way of dealing with feelings of anxiety or depression have negative consequences. That's what's happening. And you can say, oh, my children are just partying, or they're just expressing themselves, or they're just having a good time, quote unquote. But I'm telling you that it's killing them. And the ubiquitousness of the drugs and alcohol that are available to children make it easy to continue and perpetuate the behavior until they're not only addicted, but they're basically suicidal. They're basically killing themselves. There's such a push in medicine right now, and it has a little bit of a woke flavor to it. And I always want to be careful because I believe the heart behind some of this is just watching the way that we speak about each other. And I think that's important. I think the words that we speak are important. And so they're trying to steer us away from calling drug addicts junkies and alcoholics and some of the words that we sometimes use to describe people because we're frustrated. And so that can be changed and that can be improved. And I'm all for that. But there's also a push to change the idea of alcoholism and drug use and drug abuse into a disease. Now, I understand that there is a place. Let me just explain real quickly. Let's use fentanyl, for example, or heroin. When we use opioid type medicines, our brain gets flooded with dopamine and we get a euphoria. That's what the addicting portion of these medicines are. And then our body responds by having more and more dopamine receptors because we crave more and more, and it takes more to get the same result. It's called an addiction. And that happens over and over time, and we become hungry for that euphoria and that escapism. There is a place where the dopamine runs out and our body begins to actually secrete something called glutamate, which is a little bit different. And glutamate makes us simply crave. It's the craving for the alcohol. It's the craving for the drug or the opiate. And when it gets to that point, it's not even about euphoria anymore. It's about just trying to feel quote unquote normal. And life is consumed by just getting the next hit. And yes, I would agree when it hits that stage that it's a disease. It's something that's chemically happening in your body that is not about choice anymore. And so I get that. And so there's a push from calling it alcoholism to alcohol use disorder and from being drug addicted to an opioid use disorder. And so I appreciate the heart behind it. I believe it's still missing the point, because in order to get to the drug use disorder, there's this place that happens before it. It's what they call the partying phase, what I call the anesthesia phase, the escapism phase, the altered phase. And we're not addressing that. We're trying to call it just a disease. And yet there's this place that happens beforehand in the heart of a young person that is so displeased and has such displeasure over their lives, has such hopelessness, that they're looking to escape who they are. And through a chemical, through alcohol, through drugs, they are given an escape out of their life. They become altered. They become something different. And for a time, that broken place is satisfied. It's all about identity, my friends. It all comes back to identity. And so we as physicians, we as parents, we as ministers, we need to see that the problem is depression, anxiety, and identity. That's the problem. So I would submit to you that drugs and alcohol use is not a disease, but it's the treatment of the disease. That's a paradigm shift. It's actually the treatment of the disease. The disease is hopelessness, loss of identity, depression, anxiety. That's the disease. And that's what's running rampant through our young children today. And drugs and alcohol are giving them an escape, and it's treating their disease, or so they seem. So yes, patients become too far gone where now they are alcohol addicted and drug addicted, and they need medical help. And yes, there's a brain change that does take place. And yes, we can treat that as a disease, and we can show compassion to them as we would any other disease. That is true. But there is an entryway. There is an entry point where we have to deal with this as a society and as a people. It's about supply and demand. It always is. There's 80% of the fentanyl is in the United States of America because there's a demand for it. It's being sold. It's a commodity. That's a problem. We have a real problem in our country if that's true, and our young people are dying. Detox helps the addiction, but not the problem. Let me just give you some basic stats. As I mentioned, we're getting well over 100,000 deaths a year from fentanyl alone. But of teenagers up to the 12th grade, 62% have abused alcohol. Now, you could say, is that sipping alcohol? No, that's abusing alcohol. Of teenagers who have misused a drug, 50% at least once by 12th grade. That's well over half of our children have experimented with drugs and alcohol, and it only takes one time to kill them. 69.5% reported that they drank in the past year, Binge and heavy alcohol use. 25.8% of people ages 18 and younger reported that they drank heavily or binge drinking. High intensity drinking, which is described as alcohol levels that are two or three more times the binge drinking thresholds. 14.5, almost 15 million ages 12 and over have participated in high intensity drinking. Prevalence of underage alcohol use. About 7 million people ages 12 to 20 have reported drinking alcohol in the past month. Approximately 4.2 million people ages 12 to 20 have reported binge drinking. And 825,000 people 12 to 20 reported heavy alcohol use. This is just in the past month. Early drug abuse correlates with substance abuse problems later in life, and the most significant increases in destructive behavior appear to take place among older teens and young adults. This isn't a big surprise. Oh, and by the way, all of these kids who are drinking ages 12 to 20, this is all illegal. This is high-risk behavior. 83.88% of those who reported using drugs reported using marijuana in the last month. Marijuana is considered a gateway drug. What does that mean? It means that it leads to other drug use. Alcohol is a gateway drug. It leads to other drug use. These are not things where we shrug our shoulders, parents, and say this is nothing to worry about. Or a little bit of a party on a weekend is no big deal. It creates a cycle of behavior. And what happens is, and we see this so often culturally, even in colleges, is that kids can't wait for the weekend to escape their problems of the week. It's about escapism. They can't wait to be altered. They run to the altar of the altar. That's where they're running. That's where they're spending their time. That's what they're worshiping and looking forward to. Their conversations are about the last weekend and what's going to happen this next weekend. I even hear it at the nurse's station at where I work. It's the conversation of what happened last weekend and what's going to happen this weekend. It's because they can't wait to be altered. Country music is worship songs to beer and alcohol and drugs. So is rock and roll. Why? Because it's an altar. We're bowing down and we're worshiping to it because it's taking us to a different place. It's taking us away from the pain and the sorrow that we're experiencing. I just read an article, like literally last week, that Michael Bublé, a very famous singer, was invited to do the puck drop at the All-Star game for hockey. He's an avid hockey fan. And he was sort of the man of honor. And later he shared that he was so high on mushrooms, he doesn't remember anything that happened. My friends, this is a man who has succeeded, is popular, has money, all the things that this world is chasing, and yet he can't wait to escape it. There's something seriously wrong. And we laugh about it. Oh, he was on mushrooms. That's hilarious. It's not hilarious. And in fact, he is walking himself down a pathway that so many, those who have been famous, have walked down. The medicines that kill, ultimately. In fact, even our instructor was talking about the way that we approach opiates to our patients. And one thing he says is, if I prescribe you opiates, those are the things that kill the rock stars. He said, I like using that term because it gets people's attention, because we see the tragedy of a young life lost, and yet they achieve fame and still aren't finding what they're looking for. They're still looking to escape. My friends, we can't participate in child sacrifice on the altar of the altar. If your children are looking to escape at any point, we need to address it. We need to talk about it. We need to work on their identity so that they're strong in who they are. Life is not always easy, but when our culture is so feeling oriented and it's all about feelings, then all we have, all we can ever do is then try to mitigate feelings. Try to just bring happy thoughts and feelings. Whatever feels good, do it. The problem is that instead of working through our feelings and allowing the Lord to minister to us and to help us, even through hard times, it actually strengthens us and we're actually present here on this earth to do the things that He's called us to. Each person at the sound of my voice is made magnificently. Your children are made magnificently with unending purpose in this life. And that is the message that needs to be conveyed to them. It doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy, but that's called life and being present for life. The Claussen family had a pretty rough 2023. And yet there was never a time where I was looking to be altered, take myself away from my pain. It's part of my story. And even though it's hard and even though it's challenging, I want to be present for the good parts and for the bad parts. Being fully present. How often have we seen people getting drunk on their wedding night? It breaks my heart because it's the most important day of their life and they don't even remember it. We were sitting behind people at a Vikings game and they were so slathering drunk. And I know how much they paid for their tickets because they're sitting right in front of us. We know how much we paid for our tickets. They're not going to remember anything about it. They're so altered, so removed from the experience that they're actually missing life itself. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Not only missing life, but it's actually taking life. And the statistics are staggering and becoming worse and worse. If you know anybody who is suffering from this, or do you know any parents that shrug their shoulders and have been excusing this, have them listen to this podcast, because this is a sound of an alarm by an ER physician that's saying this has become a pandemic in our world. And if you think your child is immune from it, you're thinking wrong. There are pressures and there are temptations and those things in this world, but we need to be out in front of it and having real discussions with our kids. And as hard as it is to hear, if we excuse even a little bit of it, we are opening the door to the flood of the altered. Does that mean that we just become teetotalers and Puritans? Maybe a little bit, because this is such a pandemic that we have to be super, super careful. Jesus drank wine, so it can't be inherently evil. And he talked about drunkenness and debauchery and dissipation. Debauchery means extreme indulgence, and dissipation means to descend into immorality and drunkenness. But when we become altered and we're not who we are, not ourselves, we actually are opening ourselves up then to the effects of the enemy to speak to us, to have influence in our lives. And we engage in high-risk behavior where it can cause body-soul pain and injury and death. And we're also missing out on being present in this life that he created us to be, the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we can go and change the world and be part of the solution. So my friends, my parents who are listening, we're talking about killing our kids. Parents need to be on the forefront of this. We can't excuse it. We can't roll our eyes. We can't be ignorant. We have to be ready. We need to have the conversation. We can't make assumptions that our children are not exposed to it. And it only takes one time. That's my experience. So please hear my heart in this. Our children are going to be carrying a mantle of his kingdom. And we want to be fully present. There's nothing to be altered. How they were created and who they are is enough. And it's beautiful. That's what I believe. Thank you for listening to me again this week. Please go to pushbackculture.org and leave any comments or questions, your experiences with this painful subject. Maybe you've had a child that got into this realm of addiction and you want to just share your heart or share your story. I'd be happy to hear that or share it on air even if it's appropriate. And you can also go to gofam.org and there's great resources for family there. Thank you for connecting with me this week, and we're going to go at it again next week as we go together now to set and shape the culture.